بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 40th session, reading from فتح القوي المتين في شرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين, explanation of 50 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawawi and Al-Imam Ibn Rajab رحمهم الله, with the commentary of our Shaykh Al-Alama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr حفظه الله. Before we look at the hadith that we're going to be taking tonight, which is the 35th hadith from the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, we're going to look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 39. The first question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 34. The main topic or subject of hadith number 34. So it's possible, yes. Yani, Adil?
That there are levels of prohibiting eating.
Naam. Yani, there are several ways that perhaps this hadith can be summarized, but probably the clearest of them is that there are levels or degrees of rejecting or prohibiting evil. Darajat of inkar al-munkar. Naam. So that's one way of summarizing it, and perhaps, yani, there may be some other ways that it could be worded. Question number two, who is the rawi, the narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? The rawi, naam, Abdul Wali.
Abu Sa'id al-Khudri,
radiallahu anhu. And the muhaddith, in whose collection? This is in the collection, the sahih of al-imam Muslim, rahimahullah. Question number three, mention the levels of inkar, rejection of munkar, evil, as outlined in this hadith. What are the three levels that are outlined in this hadith of rejection or prohibition of evil? Naam, fadl, Ibrahim. Naam.
Physically removing any munkar,
naam.
And if you're not able to do that, speaking out against it.
The person is not able to do that, then hating it in the heart. Any of the levels of rejecting evil is that the one who is able, authorized to stop the evil by using force must do it. If they are not able, then at least the person who knows how to can speak out about it, against it, and if not, then hate it in the heart, and that's the weakest of iman. Question number four, who are the people obligated and responsible to change the munkar, the evil, with their hands, that is, by using force? Who are the people responsible for changing munkar with their hands? Naam.
The ruler and whoever represents him.
Who has he has appointed, yani, for this responsibility? Naam. There's something? Oh. What else? Second part of that answer. Who else besides the ruler and who he has appointed? What about in the limited sense?
The
person in their own household, in their family, the head of the family has the authority with the members of his family to, yani, prohibit, to forbid, to reject evil in their house. Question number five, mention the two possibilities of what may be intended by ru'ya, seeing munkar or evil. Yani, the Prophet said, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran." Whoever sees munkar. What are the two possibilities that the Shaykh mentioned of what might be intended by seeing or ru'ya? What does it mean? Naam. Fadl.
One who actually sees the
seeing it with your eyes, that a person sees the evil. Naam. And the other meaning?
Being aware that the munkar is happening.
Yani, naam. Ru'ya ilmiya. That a person knows that they are aware. It may include both, that which you see and that which you know, even if you didn't see it. Question number six. Discuss briefly the author's explanation of what is intended by changing munkar, changing evil with the heart. What is the author's explanation of changing? What is intended by changing munkar with the heart? What does that mean? What does that entail? I mean, you're so far away I can barely see you. Come close to us, please. Now.
Changing munkar with the heart includes hating it in your heart.
It means hating it in the heart, and that's the weakest of iman. What else does that include, though? Hating it in the heart. Naam. Abdul Wali.
By doing so, it has an effect on the heart, and you remove if you're close to it, you remove yourself from those people or from them, those actions.
Now, hating it in the heart, I mean, rejecting evil with the heart means that a person detests it, abhors it, hates it to the extent that it affects their heart. It's not just an intellectual activity that I hate this, but actually the heart must be affected by it. And if it is so that a person actually hates it in their heart, then that would also require of them to separate from it and the people who are doing evil. How has the author explained the intended meaning of the ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth surah, and the 105th ayat, O you who believe, the meaning of which is, take care of your own selves, no one who has gone astray can harm you as long as you are rightly guided. And O you who believe, take care of your own selves. Alaykum anfusakum. What is the meaning of this ayah, as the author has explained, yani, and how there's no contradiction between that ayah and this hadith which in which we are ordered to reject evil? Well, how has he explained the meaning of this ayah? طيب. Now.
That يعني لا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى. يعني if the people are already upon misguidance, you want to change, you want to change this munkar, but you have no power, you have no authority, you have nothing you can do. It's not the sin of you that the people are upon what they're upon.
Okay, a person is not responsible for what somebody else does. So if a person is not able to stop it, then you're not responsible for that. There's no blame on you.
No harm on you who goes astray if you're guided, and the part of that guidance is that you take the steps that Allah has.
Part of that guidance is that you take the steps that are necessary, that you do what is required of you. Yani you do what is required or requested from you of enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. In that case, after you have done that, then the one who has gone astray, their misguidance doesn't harm you. Yani if you have been rightly guided. So the Shaykh, he said what? That the meaning of it is, yani the misguidance of the person who is misguided doesn't harm you if you have done what is required of you of enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. Then, at that point, yani their misguidance doesn't harm you. You're not responsible for that. But the meaning is not as some people might think it means, take care of your own selves, don't worry about what other people are doing. No. It means you have to enjoying the good and forbidding the wrong according to your ability, whatever you're able to do. And then, after that, you are not to blame for the misguidance of others if you have been yani rightly guided, following that guidance and fulfilling the obligations that are upon you. The last question that we mentioned the three fawaid or benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. He mentioned three benefits from this hadith, any one of them, starting with Abdul Wali. The obligation,
in every society, not just in
America. Yeah, the obligation of enjoying the good and forbidding the wrong in every society. And he also attached to that, he said, that it is by enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong that the people and the lands are rectified. And it's obligatory. Why? Because this is the means of rectification of the society. The second point that he made, now, Imam.
People are required to do, enjoying the good and forbidding the evil, whatever they have the ability to do.
Enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, yani it is, there are levels. So every person is required to do it according to their ability. Yani whoever is able to do any one of those levels, then they are required to do that. And the last point the Shaykh made, which is from our studies of that we discussed previously, naam, concerning Iman, naam.
Is it that also speech and action is also from Iman?
Speech and action also from Iman. But the point that the Shaykh made here is, since yani speech and action is also part of Iman, then that means that yani people's speech and actions are not going to be the same, right? Therefore, the point that he derived from this is what?
Tafawut
al-Iman. That the people of Iman are not all on one level. That the people of Iman are not all on one level. Some people's Iman is qawi, some people's Iman is da'if, some people's Iman is al-ad'af. Adaf, yani the weakest. So the Shaykh, he's saying here what? That from this hadith we can all also understand tafawut of Iman. That people, some excel others, some surpass others, that they are not all equal in Iman. These are some of the points that we covered last week. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll look at the next hadith, which is hadith number 35 from the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawawi. And this hadith, نعم is on the authority of Abu Huraira. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا ولا يبيع بعضكم على بيع بعض. This is the first part of the hadith. I want to stop here and translate and then look at the next part. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Hafidhullah has divided this hadith into three points of explanation and the fourth point of the benefits derived from it. The first part of his explanation is up until here, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تحاسدوا, don't envy one another. ولا تناجشوا, and don't inflate prices. And make the prices to rise against somebody else even though you're not interested in buying it. ولا تباغضوا, and don't have mutual hatred for one another. ولا تدابروا, and don't turn your backs to one another. ولا يبيع بعضكم على بيع بعض, and no one of you should try to undercut the person who is selling something to somebody by offering them a better product or a better price to steal the sale from them. The second part of the hadith, as the Shaykh explains it, the second point of his explanation is from this point, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. Here I just want to note in the explanation, inshallah we'll look at it, but I just want to bring to our attention here so that it's clear that all of the things that have been prohibited in the first part of the hadith are related to what came in the second part of the hadith. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. Yani that the Prophet ﷺ said, all worshippers of Allah, be brothers. And being brothers cannot be established if these things that mentioned previously are not avoided. And if the prohibition of those things is in order to establish the Islamic brotherhood. Kunu ibadallahi ikhwana. O ibadallah, be brothers. Al muslimu akhul muslim. The Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. Yani this is emphasizing the previous statement. Kunu ibadallahi ikhwan. Be brothers. The Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يحقره. And here in the hadith, as it's narrated in the 40 hadith, he mentions in that narration لا يكذبه, which didn't come in the Sahih of Imam Muslim in any of the copies, in any of the manuscripts of Sahih Muslim. So yani even though it's in the explanation of this hadith, and every scholar that I saw who explained 40 hadith explained that wording, it's not in Sahih Muslim. We just want to note that the Prophet ﷺ said, according to the narration of Sahih Muslim, he said, the Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. لا يظلمه, لا يظلمه. He doesn't oppress him. He doesn't do wrong to him. He doesn't cause harm to him. ولا يخذله, and he doesn't abandon him when the Muslim is in need of his support and his help, and he's able to help him. In the narration in 40 hadith, لا يكذبه. He doesn't. The scholars explain the two ways. He doesn't lie to him. He doesn't tell him something that's not true. The other explanation is he doesn't call him a liar, and he doesn't deny that what he says is the truth. وَلَا يَحْقِرُهُ, and he doesn't look down upon him. He doesn't despise him, yani another Muslim. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, and all this is part of the Shaykh's second point of explanation, التَّقْوَى هَاهُنَا وَيُشِيرُ إِلَى صَدْرِهِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. Yani he said that التَّقْوَى is here, and he's pointing to his chest, and he said this three times. Emphasizing at-taqwa is something that's in the heart. And then he said, بِحَسْبِ إِمْرِئٍ مِنَ الشَّرْ أَنْ يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمَ, that it is sufficient amount of evil that a person will earn is sufficient if he merely despised, looked down upon his Muslim brother, even if he didn't have any other evil. Yani if he didn't do anything else that was evil, if that was the only evil he had, that would be more than enough evil for any person to carry. Just despising, looking down upon your Muslim brother. This is the second part, yani the Shaykh explains up until here, the second part of the hadith. And then the last part of the hadith, the Shaykh, is his third point in his explanation, كُلُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ حَرَامٍ. Yani that the whole of a Muslim is haram, yani is sacred, is inviolable for another Muslim. And the explanation of that whole of the Muslim is what? دَمُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعِرُدُهُ, yani his blood and his wealth and his honor. رَوَاهُ Muslim. As I mentioned, just one part of this hadith as mentioned in the 40 hadith, and we'll discuss it again, I mean the explanation the Shaykhs gave for it, when we come to it. But that one wording about he doesn't lie to him or call him a liar, it didn't come in any of the narrations, any of the copies of the Sahih of Al-Imam Muslim. And Allah knows best, and the whole case of this particular wording, but in any case, it's in accordance with what is said here. Yani that these are things that a Muslim doesn't do to another Muslim. He doesn't oppress him, he doesn't wrong him. He doesn't look down upon him. He doesn't abandon him when he's in need and he's able to help him. And he doesn't lie to him. The Shaykh, as I mentioned, he has numbered his explanation in points. So he has explained this hadith in 3 points, and I tried to identify the places where he stopped in each part of the hadith, so it will be clear, each point how he has separated them. The fourth point are the benefits that he has derived from this hadith, because the Shaykh has given a much more lengthy explanation than he normally gives, and he intending this book to be a summary explanation, but here he explained it in a little more detail than normal, so we won't have a lot of time to look at any other explanations tonight, but in whatever time that we have, we'll try to take a look at least some of the comments of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan. Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. So Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, on the first point of this hadith, he says the saying of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, لَا تَحَاسَدُوا وَلَا تَنَاجَشُوا وَلَا تَبَاغَدُوا وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا وَلَا يَبِيعُ بَعْدُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْءٍ Ba'adin, that you should not envy, yani al-hasad, you should not envy one another. You should not inflate prices on one another. And you should not have hatred for one another, nor turn your backs to one another, nor undercut one another's sale. Yani in buying and selling. The Shaykh explains each one of these 5 things that the Prophet ﷺ mentions in the beginning of these hadith, and as we will see, these things are necessary to be avoided in order to establish true brotherhood. Yani the topic of our hadith is al-ukhuwa al-islamiyya, al-ukhuwa al-imaniyya. Yani the brotherhood that's based on Islam and Iman. These 5 things that are mentioned here must all be avoided if we're going to establish true brotherhood. The first of them, he says, al-hasad. Yani do not envy one another. He said that al-hasadu yakunu fil umur ad-dunyawiyya wal-ukhrawiyya. Yani that hasad occurs in worldly affairs as well as in the affairs of the next life. Yani hasad is not just that a person envies that a person has a car or a home or money, rather even in the affairs of the next life. A person's religious observation, person who memorized the Quran, a person who has learned certain knowledge, a person who has good deeds, who prays in the Jama'ah and the Masjid every prayer, every day. And these are matters of the next life. Also, there's hasad in this. It's not just in the physical possessions that a human being has. So he said that it occurs in worldly affairs as well as in the affairs of the hereafter. وَيَدْخُلُ تَحْتَهُ قَرَاحَةُ الْحَاسِدِ النِّعْمَةَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمُ اللَّهُ بِهَا عَلَى غَيْرِهِ. So included in this hasad is that a person, the envious person, that he hates the ni'mah, the blessing, which Allah has favored someone with. He hates that person, that person Allah has given them this ni'mah. And the obvious danger of this is that whatever ni'mah a human being has is by the decree of Allah. And that means that a person has some problem with what Allah has decreed. That's a dangerous affair. That a person is contesting what Allah has decreed. So included in al-hasad is that a person, the envious person, hates that Allah, hates the ni'mah that Allah has blessed someone with. وَيَدْخُلُ فِيهِ تمني زوال هذه النعمة عنه. And also included in hasad is that a person wish, hope that ni'mah which the person has received from Allah, that it will be taken from them. They wish that it will be taken from them. They desire that be removed, that they don't have that ni'mah. And the Shaykh says, it doesn't matter if they are wishing that the ni'mah be given to them, transferred to them, or not. It doesn't matter. The fact that a person wish that that will be taken from that person, this is hasad. Then the Shaykh says, as far as the one who wish to have the like of the ni'mah that Allah has given to someone else, without hating the fact that that person has received that ni'mah, and without wishing or desiring that it be taken from them, he said, this is al-ghibta. Al-ghibta. This is not hasad. Yani that a person sees a person who memorized the Quran and they wish that I could also memorize the Quran. They don't hate that that person has memorized the Quran. They're not envious of them because they memorized the Quran, and they don't wish that it be taken from them. They just want to enjoy the khair that that person has. They want to also get that kind of blessing. He said, this is not hasad. This is ghibta. And it is not blameworthy. The second thing, don't envy one another and don't yani inflate prices upon one another. He said that this, inflating the prices, it is that a person causes an increase in the price of some goods at the time of an auction. Yani when people are bidding on it. And a person, he causes the price to be increased while he has no desire to buy it. He has no desire to buy it. But he says 100, 200, 300. He keeps and he's bidding for something that he has no intent or desire to buy. And this is only because he wants to benefit the one who is selling the product by causing the price to be increased, or he wants to harm the one who is purchasing by causing the price to be increased upon him. And this is an evil that certainly yani is not in harmony with the establishment of true brotherhood, that a person does this to somebody. This is an evil. After this, the Shaykh says, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't envy one another, don't inflate prices on one another, وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا, and don't have hatred for one another. What that means, he said, it means that a person pursues, goes after those things which are the causes of hatred, that they do those things that bring about hatred, that they actively engage in causing hatred between the Muslims. And then he said, وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا, and don't turn your backs to one another. It means that you cut off, you cut ties with the Muslim, or you boycott them, and you don't love to meet your brother. Rather, each one of them, when they came to meet one another, turned their backs due to the hatred that exists between them. They turned their backs on one another. And finally, he said, "Al-bay' yani undercutting the one who is selling to a customer." He said, "It is that two people are involved in an exchange, buying and selling of a product, and they are at the point where the person has the right to make a choice." To go ahead with the transaction or to back out of it. At that point, another person comes to the purchaser, to the one who wants to buy, and says to him, leave that, leave those goods. I will sell you goods that are just like it or better than it for a price that is cheaper than what you're buying from this person. Yani a Muslim is making a transaction, a purchase, and another person comes and says, don't buy it from him. I can sell you something better than that, cheaper than that, than what you're buying it for. Buy it from me. Clearly, yani, this is something that, yani, how could a Muslim do that? The Prophet ﷺ is saying that if we want to establish brotherhood, these are the kinds of things that a Muslim must avoid. The Shaykh says, هَذَا الْعَمَلْ يُسَبِّبُ التَّبَاغُدْ. Yani that this type of action is a cause of hatred. Yani of Muslims hating one another. This first part of the hadith mentions several things, and these are examples of things that do happen that Muslims must avoid. And in the second part of the hadith, the Shaykh explains yani the core meaning of what is intended here, and that is the urging, the exhortation of Muslims to be true brothers to one another. The Shaykh says, قوله وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا المسلم أخو المسلم لا يظلمه لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يكذبه ولا يحقره. التقوى ها هنا ويشير إلى صدره ثلاث مرات بحسب امرئ من الشر أن يحقر أخاه المسلم. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the command form he said, O worshippers of Allah, عباد الله, كونوا إخوانا, be brothers, يعني to one another. And then he emphasized it by saying, the Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. Yani the Muslim, because of their Islam, they are the brother of another Muslim because of their Islam. And then he said, being brothers to one another, the Muslim being the brother of a Muslim, therefore he must not, لا يظلمه, he must not oppress him, do wrong to him, oppress him, yani do cause harm to him. ولا يخذله, nor must he, he must not abandon him if that person is in need of help and he's able to help them. Nor must he lie or call him a liar. Nor must he look down upon him. Yani belittle him. Consider him to be yani despicable. Then the Prophet ﷺ says that at-taqwa is here. And he's pointing to his chest and he repeats it three times. And then he says, after this statement, that taqwa is here, it's in the chest, it's in the heart, then he says, it is sufficient for a person, yani as evil, it is sufficient evil for a person that he looks down upon or despises his Muslim brother. The Shaykh, he says in his explanation of this particular point, very, very important point, after the Prophet ﷺ prohibited these prohibited affairs, يعني بعد نحيه صلى الله عليه وسلم عن أمور محرمة, he prohibited these things, five things that I mentioned in the first part of this hadith. After that, and amongst them he said, is that Muslims hate one another and that they pursue the things, the causes that lead to hatred. From amongst those five things he said, is that Muslims hate one another, that a Muslim hates another Muslim, and that they pursue the things that cause hatred. After this, he says the Prophet ﷺ guided us to ما هو مطلوب من المسلمين أن يكونوا عليه وهو أن يكونوا إخوة متحابين متآلفين. يعني he says here the Prophet guided us to that which is required, that which is requested, that which is desired. يعني مطلوب من المسلمين. What is desired from us is يعني what we should be upon. It is that we should be brothers who have mutual love and mutual affection for one another. This is what is required. Yani the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, this is what yani we should, yani this is the relationship that we should have one another, that we should be loving, affectionate brothers to one another. يَرْفَقُ بَعْضُهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ, yani that we are gentle with one another. وَيُحْسِنُ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ, and that we are good and kind to one another. And that is by yani conveying benefit to your brother and repulsing harm from him. And again, and I mean, it is important that we say, even though it's obvious and it's clear, that what is mentioned here concerning brothers also means sisters, means Muslims. And this is the way that Muslims should deal with each other. That is, that we try to benefit another Muslim and we try to protect them from harm. This is the core meaning of brotherhood in Islam, that a brother or a sister tries to benefit another Muslim and tries to protect them from harm. And if we think about all the things that we can do for one another, yani it's captured in these words. Yani benefiting one another in whatever way we can and protecting one another from harm. The Shaykh, he says that the Prophet ﷺ emphasized these words when he said, "Kunu ibadallahi ikhwanan." He emphasized by saying, "Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim." The Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. That is, what is necessitated by al-ukhuwa is that the Muslim loves for his brother what he loves for himself, and he hates for his brother what he hates for himself. This is what is necessitated by true brotherhood. He loves for his brother what he loves for himself, and therefore he tries to benefit him in the same way that he wants to benefit, and he hates for his brother what he hates for himself, therefore he tries to protect him from harm. in the same way that he wants to protect himself or be protected from harm. Therefore, and if this is the case, this is what is required from true brotherhood, then the Prophet ﷺ went on to say that he doesn't do dhulm to his brother, that he doesn't oppress him or do wrong to him, he doesn't abandon him, he doesn't lie to him, and he doesn't despise him or look down upon him. And he explained each one of these. He said, not doing wrong to another Muslim, that is by transgressing against him or causing some harm to come to him. He doesn't transgress over his rights and he doesn't bring any harm to him. This is what he means by dhulm, that he doesn't transgress another Muslim and he doesn't do anything to bring harm to him. He said abandoning him, it means that when that Muslim is in need and he needs somebody to help him or to support him, and you are able to help him and support him, then you must not abandon him. A Muslim sees or knows that another Muslim is in trouble, in need of help, and they're able to help. But they're not concerned. This is not Islam. Whoever that Muslim might be, when you're able to help, you have to help. And this is part of the brotherhood of Islam. This is from the rights and duties and responsibilities of Muslims towards one another. He said, he doesn't, لا يكذبه. He said, the meaning is, the Shaykh explained it here by meaning, لا يحدثه بحديث هو كاذب فيه. That he doesn't speak to him saying something, he's a liar in what he's saying. Shaykh Salih Fawzan explained, لا يكذبه means, that he doesn't inform him of something that's contrary to the reality. And some other scholars said that the meaning is he doesn't call him a liar. He doesn't say that what he's saying is lying. Finally, he said he doesn't look down upon him. He doesn't despise him. He doesn't think little of him. After this, the Shaykh says, then the Prophet ﷺ made clear the shamefulness, the ugliness of despising or looking down upon one's Muslim brother. When he said, بِحَسْبِ إِمْرِئٍ مِنَ الشَّرْءَ الْيَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ, that it is sufficient evil for a person to look down upon, to despise one's Muslim brother. يعني أي يَكْفِيهِ مِنَ الشَّرْءَ احتقار أخيه لو لم يكن عنده شر غيره. يعني if a person didn't have any other evil deed, this deed alone is too much evil for a person to just look down upon your Muslim brother. Then he said the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in between the prohibition of looking down upon your brother and the clarification of the gravity and the magnitude of doing so. And in between those two statements, the Prophet ﷺ said, "At-taqwa hahuna." And meaning the Prophet ﷺ said, don't look down upon your brother. And then he said, "At-taqwa is here," and he pointed to his chest. And he repeated it three times. And then he said, it is sufficient evil for a person that they just look down upon their brother. So in between these two statements, meaning a Muslim doesn't look down upon his brother, and how evil it is to do so, in between that he made the statement that taqwa is here, and he pointed to his chest and he repeated it three times. He said it means he pointed to his صدري, he pointed to his qalb, to his heart, لبيان أن العبرة بما يقوم في القلوب من الإيمان والتقوى. That what is important is the iman and the taqwa that's in the heart. And this is in reference to the statement before it and the statement after it, that a person looks down upon their Muslim brother because of whatever the reason is that they look down upon them. The Prophet ﷺ is saying what really matters is the iman that's in their heart. And you don't look at the person's outside appearance or what they have or what they possess or their strength or their position in the society. What is important is that what they have in their heart. And if a person has iman in their heart, how can you look down upon them? How can you look down upon a person who has iman? He said that the meaning here is what? What is important is what is in the hearts of iman and taqwa. And it might be that the one who is being despised, who is being looked down upon, their heart might be filled, or his or her heart might be filled with taqwa. And the one who is looking down upon them, who is thinking themselves better than them, condition is the opposite of that. Yani their heart is not filled with iman. So on what basis does a Muslim look down on another Muslim? When what really matters is what is in the heart. That's what really matters. That's what makes somebody better than somebody else in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh makes a side point which is really, really important. As far as the person who finds themselves engaged in open, obvious, outright, visible sins, committing open sins, and when it's brought to their attention, they point to their chest and they say, "At-taqwa ha-huna." And in other words, don't tell me about me drinking wine, about me using drugs, about me stealing or lying or whatever. What's important is what's in my heart. Taqwa is here. They're saying my actions don't look at that. It doesn't count. What counts is what's in my heart. Some of the scholars said, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, this is a statement, it's a true statement, but what is intended by it is false. It's false. The Shaykh, he says, as far as the person who is engaged in open sinful behavior, and when it's brought to their attention, they point to their heart and they say, taqwa is here. He said, it should be said to them, إِنَّ التَّقْوَى إِذَا صَارَتْ فِي الْقَلْبِ ظَهَرَ أَثَرُهَا عَلَى الْجَوَارِحِ بِالْإِسْتِقَامَةِ وَتَرْكِ الْمَعَصِيَةِ. Yani, it should be said to them that التَّقْوَى, when it actually is in the heart of a person, its effect becomes visible on the limbs of the human being, in their actions of being upright and abandoning sin. Yani, if a person has taqwa in their heart, then it's going to affect the rest of their being, their behavior and everything. And the proof of this is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَحِيَ الْقَلْبِ. And the Prophet ﷺ said that which verifies this point, that if a person claims to have taqwa, to have iman in their heart, it will be manifested by their actions. The Prophet ﷺ said, indeed, in the body there is a piece of flesh. If it is whole, if it is sound, then the whole body will be whole and sound. And if it is corrupt, then the whole body will be corrupted. And that is the heart. And whoever has iman in their heart, that iman will be manifested in their speech and in their actions. And also, from the proofs of this is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَمَالِكُمْ. That indeed Allah does not look at your outward appearances, your forms. He doesn't look at your possessions and your wealth. That's not what really counts. But Allah looks at your hearts and your deeds. Your hearts and your deeds. And then he said, and this hadith is reported by Imam Muslim, he said it also came from some of the Salaf, that he said, لَيْسَ الْإِيمَانِ بِالتَّمَنِّي وَالتَّحَلِّي وَلَكِنْ مَا وَقَرَ فِي الْقُلُوبِ وَصَدَّقَتْهُ الْعَمَالِ. Yani that iman is not based upon التمني والتحلي, that a person wish and hopes that they have iman, that a person has the outward adornments of iman. Rather, al-iman is that which is settled in the hearts. And the truthfulness of it is testified to by the actions. By the actions. Yani, at-taqwa ha-huna, a person claims they have taqwa, they have iman. What testifies to the truthfulness of that? Their actions. Their actions. And the opposite is also true. Here, I want to take a moment to look at a little bit at least one of the comments, Sheikh Salih Fawzan, concerning this part of the hadith. He says the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O worshippers of Allah, be brothers to one another. هذا يدل على أن هذه الأمور تؤثر على الإخوة يعني على أخوة الإخوة. That these things that are mentioned in the first part of the hadith that a Muslim doesn't do, يعني that a Muslim doesn't hate another Muslim, that a Muslim يعني has a certain relationship with another Muslim, he said these things يعني the Prophet ﷺ is indicating here, be brothers to one another, he's indicating that this shows that these affairs affect, yani abandoning these things affects brotherhood. And if we were to leave these things, then indeed we will become true brothers. إِذَا تَرَقْنَاهَا أَصْبَحْنَا إِخْوَانًا. If we were to leave these things, if we were to give up these things, then we will become true brothers. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. That indeed the believers are brothers to one another. In Surah Al-Hujurat, 49th Surah, 10th Ayat. And the ikhwa here, he said, is ikhwa fi deen, la fi nasab. Yani that this is brotherhood that's based upon the deen, not based upon blood relations. And the ukhuwa in the deen is stronger than the ukhuwa that's based on blood. Indeed, the kafir might be your enemy, even though he is your blood brother. And a Muslim is your brother in deen, even though he may not be your blood brother. Yani that the Muslim is al-akh al-haqiqi, is the true brother. So the brotherhood of Islam is based upon deen. As far as yani the brotherhood that's based upon yani lineage, blood lineage, then this creates a relationship that's based on blood between the people. However, the yani what the consequence of having relations, yani having allegiance to people and yani enmity towards people, yani is really based upon deen. Al-wala wal-bara innama yakunu ala hasab al-iman. Yani allegiance to people, loyalty to people, and separating, yani being free of people, it is based upon iman. So a person may be your blood brother and he could be your enemy in your deen. And a person may not be your blood brother and he might be your brother in the deen. After this, the shaykh goes to the last part of this hadith. The saying of the Prophet ﷺ, كُلُّ الْمُسْلِمْ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمْ حَرَامٌ. That the whole of the Muslim is yani inviolable, is sacred for another Muslim. His blood, his wealth, and his honor. So it is prohibited for a Muslim to transgress against the life of another Muslim, whether by killing them or anything less than that. And it is prohibited to transgress against the wealth of a Muslim by stealing secretly or openly, forcefully taking a person's wealth or by other means. It is forbidden to transgress a person's honor, whether by abusive speech or insulting or cursing, or whether by backbiting or tail-bearing or other than that. And this, the prohibition of transgressing against a Muslim, against his blood, against his wealth, against his honor, he said the Prophet ﷺ emphasized this, yani the prohibition of these three things. Transgressing against a Muslim's blood, transgressing against his wealth, or transgressing against his honor. He emphasized this in the farewell pilgrimage, where he coupled or joined the sacredness, yani of these three things of a Muslim, his blood and his wealth and his honor. He joined it, coupled it with the sacredness of the time and the place that the people were in during the farewell pilgrimage. When he said, إِنَّ دِمَاعَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَامٌ. That indeed your blood and your wealth and your honor, it is all, yani, sacred, inviolable. كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. Just like the sacredness of this day, yani the day of Arafat, the day of Arafat. And fi shahrikum hadha, in this month of yours, the sacred month of Dhul Hijjah, wa fi baladikum hadha, and in this sacred land, that is the sacred area of Mecca. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in this farewell khutbah, yani in Hajj, in the farewell Hajj, and in the khutbah on Yawm al-Arafah, he mentioned that the sacredness of the Muslims' blood and their wealth and their honor is like the sacredness of the day of Arafat in the month of Dhul Hijjah in the sacred land in Mecca or on the place of Arafat. After this, the Shaykh mentions the benefits from this hadith. And before mentioning the benefits, take another point from Shaykh Salih Fawzan. May Allah protect and preserve him. He says, in reference to looking down upon another Muslim. And I think that it's important that we emphasize this particular affair, because as human beings, even the best of Muslims might find themselves in a state of unconsciousness, unawareness, of ghafla, looking down upon another Muslim, who might be not very religious, or who might be poor, or who might be having a low status in the society. It's possible for a religious Muslim, a person who is upon the Sunnah, who has knowledge of the Deen, to actually look down upon another Muslim. That's why this affair is so dangerous. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَا يَحْقِرُهُ. He doesn't look down upon his brother. He doesn't think that his affair is unimportant, that he is unimportant, that he doesn't have any value. لِأَنَّ الْمُسْلِمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ وَإِنْ كَانَ لَيْسَ لَهُ مَظْهَرٌ أَوْ لَيْسَ لَهُ مَالٌ أَوْ لَيْسَ لَهُ جَاهٌ مَا دَامَ أَنَّهُ مُؤْمِنٌ فَهُوَ عَظِيمٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. A Muslim doesn't despise or look down upon another Muslim because a Muslim in front of Allah is azim, is great, is important, is of value to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they have Islam, because they have Iman. Even if that person doesn't have any good appearance, even if that person doesn't have any wealth, even if they don't have any station or status in the society, as long as that person is a mu'min, then in front of Allah, that person is azim. The Prophet ﷺ said, رُبَّ أَشْعَثَ مَدْفُوعٍ بِالْأَبْوَابِ لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهُ. That it might be that a person who is disheveled, who is pushed away, who is repulsed from the doorways of the people, yani the people don't think much of this person, that person might أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ, swear by Allah on something, and Allah would fulfill that for them. Even though the people didn't think much of them, but that person might have a station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is important is not the way a person looks, or their station or status in the society, or their wealth or their strength, but what is important is their iman. For the believer is qareebun min Allah azza wa jalla, qareemun ala Allah, wa huwa waliyullah, fala yahqir أَخَاكَ الْمُؤْمِنْ بِأَنْ يُقَلِّلَ مِنْ شَعْنِهِ أَوْ يَقُولَ لَا يَسْتَحِقُّ كَذَا أَوْ هُوَ لَيْسَ بِأَهْلٍ لِكَذَا أَوْ تَزْدَرِيهِ بَلْ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ تَحْتَرِمْ أَخَاكَ عَلَى أَيِّ حَالٍ كَانَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مُحْتَقَرًا فِي الْمَرْأَى أَوْ فِي الْاعْتِبَارِ النَّاسِ فَأَنْتَ تُعَذِّمُهُ لِأَنَّهُ كَرِيمٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. The Shaykh, he said that it's not what is important is not a person's outward appearance or their station in the society or their wealth or their strength, but what is important is their iman, because the believer is near to Allah and the believer is precious to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the believer is the wali of Allah. Therefore, one should not look down upon your mu'min, your believing brother, and think that they are of little importance, or say that they are not entitled to such and such, or they are not fit for such and such, or to think them to be insignificant. Rather, it is incumbent to show respect for your Muslim brother, whatever condition they might be in. whatever condition they might be in. Even if yani they are looked down upon in terms of yani when you look at them and what you see in them, or if they are considered to be of insignificant status in the eyes of the people, nonetheless you should show respect for them. And that is because they are precious in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh closes this point by saying that بِهَذِهِ الْأَخْلَاقِ الْعَظِيمَةِ يَصْلُحُ الْمُجْتَمَعَ وَبِفَقْدَانِهَا أَوْ بِفَقْدِ شَيْءٍ مِنْهَا يَخْتَلُّ الْمُجْتَمَعَ. Yani it is by this, these characteristics, these qualities, this akhlaq, this great magnificent akhlaq of Islam, that the society is rectified, informed, reformed and improved. And it is by the absence of this type of character, or any one of these qualities or characteristics, their absence is what caused defect in the society. Islam came with everything that builds a good society, and it prohibited everything that causes defect in the society. So these things that are prohibited were prohibited by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they are from those things that cause defect in the building of the Islamic society. Naam. Okay. Alright, 10?
9:23.
Tayyib, jazakallah khair.
I don't want to cut you off.
Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. One last point from Sheikh Salih Fawzan. Quickly, he said the meaning of at-taqwa ha-huna, pointing to his chest three times. He said this means that he's pointing to his heart, and he said that what is important is the heart, not the outward appearance. As long as a person has iman in their heart, then he has value with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned the hadith that Shaykh Abdul Muslim mentioned, that indeed Allah doesn't look at your outward appearances or your wealth and property, but rather he looks at your hearts and your deeds. What is important is the heart, yani what it contains of iman, or the opposite of that, even yani if what appears to the people is contrary. Yani what is important is what is in the heart, not what appears to the people. And then he goes into further explanation. We're going to close with this, with just some points of benefits from this particular hadith. From the benefits of this hadith, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, he says, he mentions 10 benefits from this hadith. The first of them is the prohibition of envy and inflating prices and undercutting the sale of your Muslim brother. Yani trying to sell or to buy, yani to undercut someone who is yani selling, yani who you come after the fact and try to undercut them. He said also, yani from this point he said, is that everything that brings about enmity and hatred between the Muslims, likewise is prohibited. The second point he says, yani the prohibition of pursuing the causes of hatred, the things that bring about hatred, and likewise everything that results from that, like yani resulting from hatred is that people cut off relations and they boycott and separate yani one from another. All of this is prohibited, yani pursuing the things that cause hatred and also yani the things that result from it. The third and fourth point the Shaykh says is related to the second part of the hadith where he said, oh, worshippers of Allah, be brothers to one another. He said here, in this part of the hadith, and we understand from it, the encouragement of all Muslims to be brothers who have mutual love and affection for one another. And the fourth point is that al-ukhuwa, islamiyya, the brotherhood that's between the Muslims, necessitates, yani, conveying good to the Muslims and repulsing harm from them. The fifth and sixth point is related to the second part of the hadith as well, where the Prophet ﷺ said the Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. He doesn't wrong him, he doesn't abandon him, he doesn't lie to him, and he doesn't look down upon him. Here the Shaykh said from this statement in the hadith, we understand the prohibition of the Muslim yani doing dhulm, wrong or oppression to their Muslim brother, abandoning them when they are in need of help and you are able to help them, looking down upon them, despising them and lying to them or calling them a liar. The sixth point he says, clarification of the seriousness, the gravity of looking down upon your Muslim brother. And that the evil from this is more than enough for a person if they had no other evil against them. The 7th, 8th and 9th point the Shaykh makes based upon the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, he said that from this statement we understand. And if this statement is a reference to what? To the Muslim who looks down upon another Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ is saying that what is important is what's in the heart, not the outward appearance. He said that from this we understand that al-mizan fi tafadul bayn al-nas at-taqwa. Yani that the scale, the measure of the excellence or superiority of people one over another is at-taqwa. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, that indeed the most honored of you in front of Allah is the one who has the most taqwa. The 8th point he said, and the taqwa mahalluha al-qalb, yani that the place of at-taqwa is in the heart. It's in the heart, as it came in this hadith, and also as it came in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَاعِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Yani that whoever honors and reveres the signs and outward appearances of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then indeed doing so is from the taqwa that's in the hearts. The 9th point related to this same matter is, he said that, أَنَّ التَّقْوَى فِي الْقُلُوبِ تَظْهَرُ آثَارُهَا عَلَى الْجُوَارِ وبالصلاح القلوب يصلح بقية الجسد. That a taqwa, if it is in the hearts, its effect is seen, its effect appears visible on the limbs of the body, in the outward actions of the human being, and it is with the rectification of the hearts that the rest of the body is rectified. And the last point that the Shaykh makes is تحريم الاعتداء على المسلمين في دمائهم وأموالهم وأعراضهم, that it is prohibited to transgress against the Muslims in terms of their blood and in terms of their wealth and in terms of their honor. Just a couple of final points from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen and the benefits that he mentioned with this hadith. He mentioned 11, and I'll just mention a couple of them. He said that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited al-hasad in this hadith. He said, yani la tahasadu. He said this prohibition indicates at-tahrim, that it is haram. And then another point that he made is that the prohibition of undercutting your brother in their buying and selling also includes undercutting Muslims in anything. That is, going behind a person who has made a proposal to a woman, and then before she answers, making a proposal to them. Undercutting a person in renting, in buying and selling, in all other yani things, also this is applicable, he said. Also he said, from the benefits of this hadith is the repetition of the word that is important. Yani repeating a word that's important. The Prophet said, At-taqwa hayahuna, and he repeated it 3 times. That's something that's important. It should be repeated to clarify, yani, that this is something to give care to and to make sure that the people understand it. Another benefit from this hadith, he said, the prohibition of the Muslim, yani, from transgressing against the blood of a Muslim and their wealth and their honor. He said this is the original rule. However, there are some exceptions in which, yani, by the Sharia, yani, a person, yani's blood may be spilled according to what Allah has legislated because of the crimes that they have committed and so on. And the final point, the Shaykh, he says that the Ummah Islamiyya, if it were to follow these guidance, these guidelines from the Prophet ﷺ, they would achieve happiness and success in this world and in the next life. Because these are manners and behavior, yani, that is magnificent, that's great, that's lofty, through which the person will achieve, yani, everything that is beneficial, and it will, yani, check and reduce and stop everything that is harmful. I'm going to stop here with this, and I think it's from the clock here, it's already 9:40, so I think it's time for the adhan. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If anybody has a correction, we can take it now before we call the adhan, in case somebody leaves. Naam. At Tirmidhi, the wording came, yani, with he doesn't lied to him. Yeah, it came in at Tirmidhi, Sunan of At-Tirmidhi. Naam, Jazakallah khair. So after the Salat, inshallah, whoever is not in a hurry, we're going to stay for a few minutes just to look at some of the affairs that we didn't have a chance to mention in the class, and any other questions or comments that we may take, inshallah, at that time after the Salat. And we also have some very light refreshments.